can know Jesus? Who can know the real answer to living forever and ever and ever in a world where everybody wants to look young as they can, all the time, in a world where people think that they never quite know what's going to happen next, in a world where people dread dying because of the unknown? Who can know what it really means to live and to know where you're going? Well, the answer to that is found in the passage that we just read together. I wonder if any of the children can tell me what the answer is. Who can know? Any of the Sunday school children? Did you read the passage with me a moment ago? Let me read it out to you again, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, these answers, these things about knowing God, about knowing Jesus, about knowing your way to heaven, about finding the real answers. You've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Who can know? One of the Sunday school kids. Who can know? I've just read it. What does it say in verse 25? Who has God revealed them to? James? To little children. That's exactly right. Who can know Jesus? Well, the answer is little children. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says something similar. That God, not talking so much about the children now, but talking about the attitude of heart, he mocks proud mockers. Those who are proud, those who think themselves to be wise and learned and grand and think they know all the answers. He mocks them, God does. But he gives grace to the humble. What was the passage that Katie read to us a few moments ago? Did you listen carefully? Jesus said to the crowd, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Well, I was trying to think of some way this morning to illustrate what it meant to make yourself not wise and learned and grand and as if you know everything, but small and humble like a little child. And I have racked my brains for weeks and weeks and weeks. And in the end, I thought of all sorts of things I could do. I thought of making people look silly, and I thought of making people look small and embarrassing some of the grown-ups. And I know you may have liked me doing that. But I decided in the end that I really couldn't do that. That the only thing I could do was bring out this. We're going on beach missions on Saturday, and this will be of great use to us. Anybody know what this is? Sam? It's a sun tent. And what's specific about a sun tent? It keeps you safe from the sun. That's exactly right. It's got special silvered lining, so it's very dark in there, and it doesn't let all the sun's ultraviolet rays get through and burn you. But you know what, boys and girls? There is a real problem with this tent of mine. Think for a moment. This is a family sun tent. This is the tent that you take down to the beach, and we do use on beach missions, mostly to store our stuff, actually. And there is a reason for that. What is the problem with this being a family sun tent? Katie? It's too small. You're absolutely right. From time to time, my family has used this tent to get changed in. Now, there is a problem with doing that, isn't there? What is the problem? Who do you think finds it easy to get changed in here from my family? Hannah? My children find it really easy. Why would they find it easy? Because it's small, because they can go in, and in fact the youngest can even stand up in here. No problem at all. He can get changed and there's no trouble. But there's a real problem with the grown-ups getting changed in here. What is that? Sophie? They're too big to fit in. I'll tell you what, you don't have to feel daft on a beach trying to squeeze around in a tent this big. You don't fit. This is a place that you need to be small to get into. Much more than that, you need to make yourself small to get into it. I do change in there from time to time when we're on the beach, but I tell you, I have to scrunch myself up into a little ball and somehow close the door and so, I'm not going to show you. You've got to be really small to get in there. Jesus said that those who can know him, those who can know God, those who can really have access to God and know what it is to go to heaven, are those who are not wise and learned and grand and think they know everything, who are big and have it all right, but those who are little children. Now that doesn't mean, of course, only children can become Christians and go to heaven. Jesus is talking about an attitude, how you feel on the inside. If you think you know it all in the first place, well, you're going to be blind to the things of God. Because God has chosen to reveal it to those who are willing to make themselves small. What is specific about a child compared to somebody who is wise and learned? Maybe one of the grown-ups would say. What's the difference between a child? There's a huge contrast, isn't there, between somebody who is wise and learned and a child? Do you know what? A child is dependent. A child may sometimes be foolish, and sometimes a bit silly. But whereas the wise and learned, from whom things are hidden, already know, or at least are wise in their own eyes, they think they know, little children may be talkative and curious and at times foolish, but they're dependent. They're trusting. They're willing to learn. The Sunday school teachers will, I think, assure us that although at times the children have been talkative and foolish and at times somewhat disruptive, yet on the whole they're much more teachable than grown-ups ever are. Jesus said those who come to know him, who can know the things about God, are those who are willing to learn, are willing to be dependent. Not those who are in terms of their personality, too big and wise to fit in something small. But those who are willing to make themselves small to fit in. I'm going to need, boys and girls, a volunteer in a minute. So you keep listening for when I ask for one. You've got to have followed it right the way through if you're going to be qualified to volunteer. As a result, grown-ups, or those who are wise and learned, well, they grow out of depending on something or someone like God. They grow up and move on, but actually they don't really understand the world any better. It's just that they convince themselves that they can cope and they don't need God, and they're not willing to listen. That's what happens so often to people who think themselves to be wise and learned. They try all sorts of other answers, but they won't depend on Jesus. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that people, although when they're at Sunday school, they read the Bible and they say their prayers and they answer the questions and they take part, so often people can move away from Sunday school and stop thinking about God, and they grow up and they say, oh, I'm not out for the simple things anymore about Jesus. I want to do complicated things. And they start to get stuck into all sorts of complicated religion and all sorts of complicated ideas. And they obey idols and they bow down to them. Or they travel to special places. And they won't read the Bible, but they'll read 100 other books. Jesus says we don't. Those who know God are not the wise and learned, but are those who are willing to simply say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Those are the people who can know Jesus and who can know the real answers to the world and the life and universe and time and heaven. And you see, depending on Jesus is what we must do, because he's the only one who really knows those who can know are little children, and those who can know are those that Jesus chooses to show. Did you see verse 27? All things, he said, have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see, if over these last few weeks Jesus really is all the things that you've been hearing about in Sunday school, and Jesus really is all the things that the grown-ups have been hearing about in the service, then he must be pretty amazing. Some of the things that we've been reading about Jesus can do, for example, somebody tell me, what kind of things can Jesus do, boys and girls? Yeah, Hannah? Miracles. He can do miracles. Give me some examples of miracles. He can change water into wine. He can heal people. Another one? He can turn a stick into a snake. Well, that's what... In fact, it is Jesus who did that, but you're thinking about him giving Moses the opportunity to do that in the Old Testament. You're quite right. And back again. Another one? That's the biggest one of all, isn't it? Come back to life again from the dead. And he could raise other people from the dead. In a service on a Sunday morning, while you guys have been out in Sunday school, do you know we've been hearing about him walking on the water? We've been hearing about him calming the storm. Imagine being on a boat, and the wind and the waves and the thunder and the lightning, and he can stand on a boat and say, "Peace, be still." And instantly it happens. He must be pretty special if he can do things like that, mustn't he? And the truth is, if he really is as special as he claims to be, and if he is the one who, when somebody hurts God, Jesus can say, "It's all right, I forgive you." Well, if Jesus is really like that, then he must be really very special indeed. And of course, if he really is God, then he is much too big for us to understand. Think for a moment about what the Bible says about God. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." If God really is who God says he is, then my brain's not big enough to be able to cope with him, is it? Think for a moment about the world and how big it is. Have you ever seen the world through an aeroplane window? When we had the opportunity a few weeks ago to go to Spain, we flew down over the south coast, and I looked out of the window, and there underneath me was this island laid out. And you know what? I soon realized that it was the island that as a kid I used to stand on a beach and look across to and see how high the cliffs were. And there was the Isle of Wight. And because it was so far beneath us, I could see the whole of the Isle of Wight just laid out beneath me. Or if you look at the world from space, so it doesn't feel like a ball where we live now, does it? But it's just a ball. And the Bible says that God holds that ball in his hands. Or as you look up to the sky and you see the stars, and each one of the stars is millions and millions and millions of times bigger than the world, the Bible says that God put each one of those in place and calls them by name. And there's more than I can ever begin to count. If God really is as big as the Bible says God is, then my brain's not big enough to understand him. But Jesus says he's the only one who does, and that he's been given the opportunity, a personal invitation to know God to those he chooses. That doesn't sound very fair, does it? But who does he choose? Who does he choose to understand God, to show God to? Those who are who? What did the first bit of the passage say? It's on the screen behind me. Who can know? Who does he choose to know? Who can know God? Those who are like little children. Those who are like little children can know God. It's rather like my tent, I suppose. If you're not familiar with this tent, then you'll see the way I've presented it to you, that it's about the right size for a little child to go in, but actually the entrance is kind of hidden. See, that's a window. You wouldn't get in there because it's got a mesh on. And there's some sandbags on this side, and there's sandbags on the other side. I haven't shown you where the door is, and I'm going to need to show you where the door is in a minute, because I need a volunteer. But not yet. You need to be shown how does it work for those adults who are not little children but somehow need to know and just don't know. See, it's very easy, isn't it, to read this and think, hang on, the Bible is calling for me to be childish, and it's not. Jesus is calling for all of us to be childlike. If you're an older person and you've got lots of experience of the world, and you think, how can I ever be childlike again? I know too much of the world to be dependent. I'm far too experienced to be wise, not to claim that I'm not wise in some way or other. Well, he answers that question for us as well in verse 28, if you've still got your Bible open. Who are those who Jesus chooses to reveal God to? Those who will make themselves like little children. Verse 28, those who are weary and heavy burdened. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I need a volunteer to find out what is inside the tent. It's got to be somebody who's quite small enough to go in and is willing to make themselves small. Go on, you're the smallest, Joel, I think, of the hands up. You've been in here just once or twice before, I think. Now, listen, hang on. Do you know the way in? How do you know the way in? Why do you know the way in? Well, how about for the sake this morning, because I've shown it to you. When you go in, there is something in there. I want you to come out and show it to everybody, okay? You've got to bring it out. Is that all right? Go on then. Go on inside. It's not that big boy. He's got lost. You got it? Come on then, bring it out. That's it. That's the thing you're supposed to bring out. Come on. Animals and what are you not supposed to work with? What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? It's a pillow, see? It's a pillow. In fact, it's not his pillow. It's his brother's pillow. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down now. I think you thought it was some chocolate or something. Sorry. It's a pillow. What does Jesus offer to those who are willing to make themselves small? Do you notice he doesn't not make any demands? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke is what you would put across the back of somebody that still had a burden to carry. In the olden days, I'm told that milkmaids, people that delivered milk, before we had milkmen and supermarkets and things, people used to deliver milk with a kind of wooden structure across their back, and they would carry a burden on each side, and if you wanted some milk, they carried across their shoulders on this thing called a yoke, and they would deliver it to you, and they'd give you a ladle full or whatever, or a jug full, and that was how it would be carried. A yoke is something, therefore, that is a burden. It's not that Jesus doesn't make any demands on us. He does. The last few chapters of Matthew we've been seeing that if you're going to be a member of the kingdom of God, if you're going to be one of his followers, then there are things that you need to know. There is a way to live. There is a way to treat him as king that his followers do. But here's the great news. That what he really offers is rest. Those who can come to know him know that what they need is rest for their souls, to be forgiven by God, to look forward to not having to struggle with what does life mean and where am I going to go when I die and what happens when. What he offers is rest, the rest of knowing that God is in charge all the time, the rest of knowing that when I die I'm going to go to heaven, the rest of knowing that I have a heavenly Father who loves me more than I can begin to understand. And when I wake up in the morning, so I know God rules and that he loves me. Who can know is the question. Those who are willing to make themselves small in God's eyes and their own eyes. Those who are willing to know Jesus. And what they come to know is the forgiveness and rest that he offers those who will trust him. Here's the big message for the children and for the adults. Are you willing to come to God and find rest for your souls by trusting him like a little child? That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? That he loves you and me so much he died so that we could be forgiven and find true rest for our souls. Not the rest of going into a tent, but the rest of a lasting relationship with him forever. That is the good news that the children are learning about every week in Sunday school, and that the adults are studying as they study his word each week.